Djokovic, of course, has already played a night session in his first round match.
He's in the afternoon tomorrow. In fact, although I know Simon read out, they get the order of play out very early.
They do, actually. It's quite unusual to get it so early.
I'll give you a little taster in a moment of what we can look forward to on the first Wednesday. There's a big flourishing forehand from Tabor and another one. Sinner responds, though, even more effectively. And that must be so demoralising because Tabor hit two or three really good forehands to no avail.
Well, that is the real problem that all Sinner's opponents face, but particularly one who is so, relatively speaking, inexperienced, certainly at this level. He's never won a Grand Slam match. And this is probably not the player you want to draw if that's your goal, really. But it's you have to play at the very, very top of your game for best of five sets and also accept that that might still not be enough.
Sinner's now running onto his double-hander. Clip of the tape from Tabor, and that allowed Sinner a little more time to size up his options. He went with the cross-court forehand. It was a clean winner, and in the blink of an eye, he's got two break points. So, Lady E, how many games are you giving to Burr tonight? I'll give you until after this one to make your decision, because I don't think he's going to get this one. 15-40. Misses with the first serve. Sinner just leant into his backhand, sent the ball back up to the other end. Collected by a ball boy. Second serve is to the forehand. Deep return down the middle of the court from Sinner, who then slides one across the middle again with his backhand. He's onto his forehand wing once more. An angle opened up by Tabor, who now goes for the inside-out forehand. Now he's slicing elaborately on that forehand wing. Sinner comes in and he's continuing to come in, and Tabor tries to pass him. He can't. 3 minutes on the clock. First break of the night. It's gone to the world number one.
I'm going to say five games, and I say that with no disrespect to Tabor at all, but with plenty of respect for Sinner and his current level of confidence, and also because I think he's going to want to be as disciplined as possible to get off court as quickly as possible. So
I'll give him six then.
Yeah, I mean, we could both be wrong. You know, this could be, it could be one set that's actually turns out to be very competitive.
But that's a very good point you have just made, that in these conditions, and bearing in mind the fact that Sinner has struggled in the past, he will be even more keen than usual to preserve as much strength and energy as possible. He can't afford to be charitable in any way, even though he's playing a Frenchman who's involved in the biggest match of his life on court, Philippe Chatrier.
Yeah, I think Sinner won't be worrying about any of that. He'll be wary of the crowd. He'll be wary of what happens when a French player in this arena gets a little bit of momentum behind them. You know, they do a couple of great eye-catching shots, the crowd gets loud, that gets in your head, all of those things. He'll be well aware of that.
Well, that first Sinner serve is blocked back long by Tabor. Tomorrow, Iga Świątek. Am I right in saying that she's opening the programme on Chatrier for the second time running? I'm pretty sure she played the first match yesterday against Emerson
Lake and Palmer.
Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and all three couldn't beat her. Emerson Jones of Australia. Sinner misses out wide to the right-hander's backhand.
I just want to give you a quick update on Court Suzanne Longlen, because I know that Simon and Courtney were talking to you about this match earlier. Félix Auger-Aliassime has taken the second set against Daniel Altmaier, so they are at one set all over there.
Some potentially encouraging news from a British point of view. Jacob Fernley is two sets down to Juan Manuel Cerundolo of Argentina, but he is about to serve to stay in the third set of 5-6. Victoria Mboko, who is Sophie's tip to win the title, has cruised through the first set against Nicola Bartunkova by 6-1. Somehow, Tabor was able to get a very good serve back into play, but it merely delayed the inevitable as the ball floated back over the net. Sinner was there, ready to pounce, and he smashed it into the open court. Kimberly Burrell and Jessica Pegula are underway on court. Simone Mathieu as well. Quite a brave shout of Sophie's to go for Mboko. She is the ninth seed.
Well, I was listening to Andy Roddick's podcast, The Served podcast, which is, well, I think in association with Tennis Channel, one of the rights holders here. And he was saying, I think she'll win a Grand Slam this year.
Wow.
Which is a
Sinner's held to love, by the way.
Which I think is a big shout, but it's not necessarily a wrong one. She is, I'm not sure this is the surface for her, but I think Mboko is a phenomenal talent and has incredible composure. And what's most impressive is she had that breakthrough, didn't she, winning a home kind of Masters level event in Canada last summer. And what impressed me most was that she was able to back that up.
Well, the crowd are trying to get behind Tabur. Have they spotted somebody famous in the crowd as well? I'm not sure. Tabur certainly needs the support. Love too. Sinner leaning into that very trusted double hander of his and then just going a fraction long. Okay, let's cheer every single point that Tabur wins.
Well, this is what I was talking about. Sinner will be aware of this, why he needs to be clinical, because extraordinary things can happen when a player is inspired by their home crowd, whatever the odds.
Serves to the backhand. Deep return from Sinner, who then slashes one across court and finds the sidelines. Oh, such precision. Good evening to COVID, who says listening to late night matches on the radio is an absolute delight. Never imagined that following tennis on audio would be such a pleasure. Thank you. Well, thank you, COVID, for that message. Do keep them coming.
French Open Radio at fft.fr on email, or on the X platform, we are at radio_RG. I'm interested to know, and I'll ask you this and then throw it out to the listeners, what's your favourite all-time first round Grand Slam upset? There have been a few over the years.
Yes. And two spring to mind for me straight away as Tabur clips the top of the tape. The ball goes wide and he's at 15-30. Boris Becker, am I right in thinking, lost to the Australian Pete Doohan?
Doohan.
Was it in the first round?
I think so. Was that Wimbledon?
At Wimbledon. I recall that now. I'm thinking, was it the first round? I think it was. That's better from Tabur. Oh, yes. Went back behind Sinner with a fizzing forehand that has been duly appreciated.
Was that when Becker came in to press afterwards and said, it's just a tennis match, nobody died?
Yes. And there was one other big upset also at Wimbledon that I recall, and I want to say it was Laurie McNeil
beating Steffi Graf.
Yes.
One of my absolute favourite upsets. Not because Graf was incredible, but it was just so surprising. And also, it made for one of the best newspaper headlines I've ever seen.
Which was?
Steffi Graf, maybe it was an intro rather than a headline. Sinner missing. And we could probably not mention anything that's going on the court, and you would be able to know by the crowd reaction. But Steffi Graf, the unstoppable juggernaut of women's tennis, has been run over by a lorry.
Very good.
Dokic beating Hingis. Yeah, very, very young. Jelena Dokic beating Martina Hingis in the first round of Wimbledon. That was a huge upset.
Well, this wouldn't be a huge upset, but it would be a mighty relief for Tabur if he can close out a game. He's at 40-30.
I mean, if he can do more than that, it would be a huge upset. And probably rank among one of the most stunning upsets ever seen at Roland Garros in the first round.
I think it could be the greatest upset ever. Backhand reply from Sinner. Shortish ball. Oh, Tabur jumped into it. But he didn't get sufficient elevation with his double hand. He nets. And instead of closing out the game, we're back to deuce.
I mean, that's one of the more remarkable things, of many remarkable things, about Djokovic and Federer and Nadal, is they might have lost in the quarterfinals and they might have lost to each other, but they didn't get upset in the first rounds.
No. Very rare.
As a rule. I'm sure someone will email in.
Well, it was very rare for them not to make it through to the second week at slam level. Mishit on the forehand now from Tabor. So from game point to break point, he's attempting to become the first Frenchman to beat a world number one since Gael Monfils over Daniil Medvedev at Indian Wells in 2022. And this is much more extraordinary. The first on clay since Richard Gasquet in 2005 against Roger Federer at Monte Carlo. Stretching forehand return is long from Sinner. That's a good question, Eleanor. Yeah, get your thoughts. Or can we get your thoughts, please?
I mean, we can have a discussion about which is the biggest upset, but perhaps one that just sticks in your mind or was a great match or was just an incredible one-off performance that you really remember.
Serves down the middle, and Sinner's got that return back down the middle. And then he's put some oomph onto his forehand. Now he goes to his backhand, and the backhand in return from Tabor is long, so it's another break point. Just to put into perspective what it would mean should Tabor win tonight, well, he'd be just the seventh man to defeat the number one seed in the opening round at a Grand Slam event in the open era. And only the second at Roland Garros after Sergei Bruguera saw off Stefan Edberg in 1990.
Madamita thinks that Becker lost in round two in 1987.
You know,
and I think now you say that, actually.
I think she's right.
But he had won in 85 and 86.
Yes.
So in some ways that sort of lends it an even a bigger status as an upset.
Yeah, well done, Madamita. As soon as I said that, I thought, well, maybe it was the second round. Now, backhand to backhand, Sinner's, I thought he was going to change the angle, not yet. Now he does. He goes down the line to the forehand of Tabor, who gets good depth on that forehand, and he gets good depth on the next one as well. Trading impressively against the world number one in this particular rally. Then he changes the angle again. Sinner's having to stretch. Short ball for Tabor. Up goes a high defensive lob from Sinner. It's not going to come back into the court. And that's the best point of the night so far for the unheralded Frenchman.
Well, it shows he's starting to find his feet. He may not be able to beat Sinner tonight, but he can put up a good fight. He can put up a contest and he can use this crowd. And I think we've seen enough shot making from him so far to say that he'll provide us with some entertainment this evening.
I'll throw out another question to our very informed listeners after this next point.
Matthew has come up with a really good first round upset from here, actually.
Oh, well done, Matthew. Tabor with the backhand coming in behind it, and Sinner can't find the angle to pass him, so it's another game point. I have just mentioned that tonight Tabor is attempting to become the seventh man to defeat the number one seed in the opening round at a slam. Can any of you name any of the others, the other six, alongside Bruguera? Do get in touch. The other six men to defeat the number one seed in the opening round of a Grand Slam in the Open era. At @radio_RG.
Well, one question might answer the other one, mightn't it? When we're talking about memorable upsets.
Absolutely. Well, it's joined up writing here, Eleanor.
It's as if we were planet. Did Karlovic beat Hewitt when he was world number one?
Very good. Very good, Lady E.
Oh, look at that. Backhand, cross-court, changed the angle unexpectedly. He gets his first game, and maybe we've been very cruel and misguided to suggest that Clement Tabor will win only five or six in the whole night. He's won one after just three games.
Well, I think that'll help him, certainly, won't it? Everything, the heart rate will just drop a little bit. He'll start to feel like he's in this match, settled in, because there must be a fear, there must be, however confident you are in yourself, there must be a fear that you might lose a set 6-love, your opening set, and then it really is a very long way back and you have to try and keep your composure. But no, he's got himself on the board relatively early, and that in and of itself is impressive. So this upset that Matthew has recalled, Virginia Razzano beating Serena Williams in the first round here in 2012.
Gosh, was it that long ago?
It's only yesterday. What are you talking about?
I remember watching that and putting it on. I wasn't here that year. Putting it on the television, thinking, oh, this won't last long. And just sitting there open-mouthed. Great shout, Matthew. Vishal has suggested Alexander Zverev defeating Rafael Nadal in the first round here in 2024. To me, it was a big upset. I'm not so sure, because Rafa, without putting too fine a spin on it, was a little bit of a spent force by then, wasn't he?
Yes, he was kind of in his, certainly deep into the twilight. Bill says Coco Gauff getting knocked out in the first round of Wimbledon last year was a surprise. Definitely was a surprise. I'm not sure. Do we count? I mean, we could count that among. I mean, certainly it was a big upset. Yeah.
I always think, in a way, it's harder to equate big upsets on grass simply because the players hardly ever play on it. Therefore, an upset is more likely.
Well, especially players that don't choose to play warm-up events.
Kate's been in touch. I've only half read this, so I'm just going to read it again.
It's always dangerous. Will you read that to yourself? I'll read this out. Beefcake says, "Hello, Marcus and Lady Eleanor. I've been listening to the station for the last few years, and I love your coverage. I thought it was time I emailed in." Yes, high time you emailed in, Beefcake. Toby is your actual name. Beefcake's clearly your nickname, your email nickname.
Very nice one, though.
Yeah. And Toby is hoping for a Sinner win.
Well, he's raced to 30 love in this fourth game of the first set. He's got the early break, serving at 2-1. Off-balance forehand return from Tabor was ambitious. Jessica Pegula's off to a very fast start on court Simone Mathieu against Kimberly Burrell of Australia. Pegula leads by 4 games to love, though she does actually face a break point in the 5th game. And Felix Auger-Aliassime, Lady E, having battled back, is now in a spot of bother early in the 3rd set.
Well, he has been the victim of quite a few first and second round upsets. I think he's gone out first or second round in 6 of the last 7 Grand Slams.
Yeah. Well, he lost the first set on court Suzanne Longlen by 6 games to 4, won the second 6-4, but Altmaier is 2 love up in the 3rd. Here, Sinner, a point to open up a 3-1 lead in the first set on court Philippe Chatrier.
Kim says, "Although not my pick for favourite upset, Steve Darcy defeating Rafael Nadal in the first round of Wimbledon in 2013 is worth a mention. I would go for a second round upset, Dustin Brown taking out Nadal." She says, "I don't have anything against Rafa, by the way." Kim, who's still too hot in London.
Yeah, I hear the weather there's pretty brutal as well. Sinner has got the hold, so he leads by 3 games to 1. And actually, great minds think alike, because Canem has been in touch and says, "I want to go with Dreddy Tennis over Rafa at Wimbledon." A lot of you writing in about Rafa's defeats.
Yeah, me having said cheerfully that the big three didn't lose very many first and second round matches, I'm now...
Yeah, been proved absolutely wrong yet again.
Well, Rafa had a couple of absolute stinkers at Wimbledon, didn't he, over the years?
Cross court on the forehand from Jannik Sinner to the backhand of Tabor, and it's just long, unfortunately. Now, Vishal has got in touch, and he's just listed. And I should at this stage just ask you, Lady E, we'll go back to the other email I mentioned in just a moment, but how are your dark horses getting on?
They may have stumbled at the first hurdle.
Not so much a stumble as a spectacular fall.
Well, I take risks, Marcus. I'm a natural risk taker, so I picked actual dark horses.
Yeah, well, you
not
have...
Not former champions, not people who were seeded, not people who were ranked in the top 30. I picked absolute dark horses.
Yes. Well...
I mean, maybe Medvedev, who lost today, who was one of my dark horses, might have been ranked in the top 30.
He was. So I think you
must protest. And he might have been a Grand Slam champion. Just saying.
Well, Vishal, I think you should have looked at this little list before you chose him. He's shown Medvedev's results here since 2017, lost in the first round in 2017 and 2018 and 2019 and 2020. As Sinner goes down the middle of the court with his backhand and off forehand from Tabor.
Quarter finalist in 2021, just saying.
Yes, all right, we'll come to that. Deep, good depth from... Oh, well, it was really good depth for Tabor, but the trouble is you've got to keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and sooner or later, Sinner just steps on it and wins another point. OK, so a round of 16 in 2022, having made the quarters in 2021. Guess what? First round 2023. Round of 16, 2024. First round last year, Lady E. First round again today.
But he played very well against Sinner in Rome.
So,
and if that match hadn't been stopped overnight for rain, he might well have knocked Sinner out of his home Masters event.
Ifs, buts and maybes.
Well.
So your male dark horse is gone. We must just clarify who your female dark horse was in a moment. Backhand cross court from Tabur, the off forehand from Sinner. He's having to stretch on his forehand. Can't get that one back into play. It was
Zhang Qinwen.
And yesterday she
was very teary in her post-match press conference following her defeat.
So you've lost both your dark horses. I mean, that, even by your standards, before the first round has even been concluded, is extraordinary.
Don't encourage him, Stefan.
It's extraordinary.
Don't laugh with him or at him. Stefan's went too.
Both? Stefan, hang on a minute. That's brilliant. Forehand down the line winner from Tabur. Maybe a little late because he's facing more break points. But a little sign of what the 26-year-old Frenchman is capable of there. He just leant into that beautifully. But Sinner still has another chance here to extend his advantage to 4-1.
John says, from your descriptions of Marcus's attire today, he sounds like a risk taker.
It's a nice pair of shorts and a really smart T-shirt. Sliced backhand into the net from Tabur. He's been broken again. He sits down after 22 minutes, trailing by 4-1 in the first set. Stefan, who were your dark horses? Oh, Gael Monfils.
I mean,
and
that
Poisson,
was...
Poisson, what he's got, you can't... I mean, he's typically French. He's gone with his heart over his head.
But those were bold choices, Stefan.
Bold?
Bold.
Playing mad.
Who are your dark horses?
Hodda.
Safe. Very safe choice.
And
very
Kostyuk.
Safe. I was very nearly went for Kostyuk as a dark horse because she played so well in Madrid, and I'm just a big fan of hers, actually.
Yeah.
I think I want her to go deep in a slam. I think she's a great player. I think she's someone who's, you know, broke through so young that you sort of forget that she's actually still very young. You think Kostyuk's been around for ages, but actually it's because, you know, she came through qualifying at the Australian Open age something like 14. I mean, she was a real prodigy.
I mentioned that Kate had been in touch, and she's written, I finally identified why Eleanor and Marcus are my favourite on-air pairing. I'm a 50-something first-born daughter with brothers. And listening to you two quickly plonks me right into our communication patterns and relationship. To be clear, I'm always right, and so is Lady E.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Is she basically saying that you're like my annoying brother?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do have one of those in real life. And there are similarities.
Well, I like to be a surrogate for him while he's away, or you're away from him, as Tabur comes in and with a degree of nonchalance hammers away a short ball, and the crowd are going to lap up every point their man picks up. I mean, they've come here for a night out, obviously. They want it to last.
Well, I mean, I think they want it to last. They want the Frenchman to put on a good show. They don't want it to be a rout. They want value for spending their evening here. It's balmy, balmy evening in Court Philippe Chatrier. They want to see a bit of a spectacle. And to be fair to Tabor, like I said earlier, his shot making is actually really eye-catching. He's quite fun to watch.
As indeed are most French men. And I just thought last night was such a tribute to the way that they allow their players to perform with flair. And Gael Monfils kept saying that afterwards. Thank you, he said to the Federation, for letting me express myself on court.
Well, that is the point, I think, about Gael Monfils. There were times in his career where the talk was often, well, you know, he's so talented, how come he hasn't won a Grand Slam? But actually, and his wife, Alina Svitolina, made this point in a piece she did for the Players' Tribune. She said he kind of transcended that. Mm. It actually wasn't about results. It was about bringing joy and bringing the magic. And she credits him with making her enjoy tennis more.
Missed return from Tabur, so Yannick Sinner goes to 4-1, 30-15. Jessica Pegula has won the first set in just 23 minutes against Kimberly Burrell by 6-1. Victoria Mboko is on serve in the second set, having beaten Nicola Bartunkova by 6-1 in the first. That's on court 14. Sinner's coming in and he's watching a ball go high over his head and way beyond his baseline.
Well, message of the night from Heather on the X platform. Thoroughly enjoying your coverage. Marcus should be nicer to Lady Eleanor.
What do you mean? I'm the one that's received all the abuse.
Heather's in Texas. Hello, Heather. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, thanks, Heather. Son has been in touch. I'm gonna test you because you're very good with geography and pronunciations.
Oh, dear. I'm setting me up for a fall.
No, you're excellent. Even last night when I was questioning where Eugene was, you knew straight away.
Well, as I said to Gigi earlier, they hosted the Athletics World Championships a couple of years back in Eugene, Oregon.
Short ball that Sinner has been able to get to, and then he reads the attempted pass as well by Tabur. Goodness me. Even when a net cord puts Sinner in trouble, he's got the speed to react, get himself back into the point. Guess where his opponent is going to go next. And ultimately win another point and another game, and he extends his advantage to 5-1.
It's almost as if his movement's so good that the court on his side is smaller.
Mm.
And his ball striking's so good.
What do you think?
That the other end, the court is bigger.
Do you think they've got the same court they use for the Battle of the Sexes?
Yeah.
Subtly been put into place.
I think it probably feels like that.
So Tapur serving to stay in the first set at 1-5. Backhand return from Sinner. I mean, he was on the stretch, but he got so much purchase into that return. And now he goes flat to the backhand wing of the Frenchman. Goes there again, testing it. Now he changes the angle down the middle of the court to the forehand, which was a good one as well from Tabur. He was getting plenty of depth and power in his ground shots there. Now he's coming in and he's, well... Sinner saw him coming in and just...
Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 11 local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Listen again, replay.
The ball low to his forehand wing, and although he got racket on ball, he could never control what was the most awkward, fiendish volley.
Well, that is a brave play, isn't it? Brave and, I have to say, somewhat foolhardy. You can see why you would want to try and break up Sinner's rhythm. Try and come into the net a bit more. Take his time away.
We must make a decision in a moment, Lady E. We already have made a decision, have we? Yes?
I made it.
Oh, you made it, did you?
You were there too.
Was I? Yeah, of course I was. Heather? Was it Heather in Texas? And
you fully supported me in my decision.
Of course, thank you. I did. As Kate was saying, you're always right. So we're going to hear from Aryna Sabalenka at the end of this set, which could be just 2 points away. Before the end of the set, though, how do you pronounce the place that is spelt Goteborg? Now, I assumed it was Göteborg. Forehand return from Sinner, but the first serve was long from Tabur. 1-5, love 30. So stop looking things up.
I'm looking to see where it's written down, so I don't.
But
have
no,
to
but
try
the trouble is, if you do that, you'll see the answer.
Oh, okay. So you've got the answer in front of me.
Oh, I have. Oh, what a return from Sinner! He just lent into a forehand that was in his hitting zone and creamed a winner down the line to bring up set point. That's G-O-T-E. There's probably a few little funny umplas around there. B-O-R-G.
Umlauts. Umplas, other things in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, well, very similar.
Umplas.
Forehand return from Sinner. It just stretches a little bit and will now play his double-hander to the forehand of Tabur, who's come up with not a great drop shot. I think this is going to be the end of the set. It is. The drop shot spelt danger. Sinner sensed his opportunity, he raced in, got to the actual drop shot, and when the ball came back again, he powered it away with
disdain. And after exactly half an hour, the world number one has taken the first set for the loss of just one game. So I'll leave Eleanor to pose to herself how to answer that question. G-O-T-E-B-O-R-G. It's not Göteborg. And in the meantime, we will hear from Aryna Sabalenka after her straight sets win today.
Super happy to be through. I feel like it was a tricky first round opponent, and happy with the level I played, happy with the fight I brought, and just happy to be through this first round match.
Is this mine?
Yeah, just on that theme of first round and early round match, it's quite common for you or any top player to, it feels like, kind of ease their way into a tournament. Could you just talk about the difference of dynamic with like a first round match and maybe getting used to the conditions versus later on in the tournament when you're maybe kind of hitting your stride a bit?
I'd say that the first matches are always the trickiest one because you're kind of like trying to see where you're at and trying to get used to conditions and kind of like fight the nerves and everything. So I'd say that for me, always not easy the first rounds. And then as more I play, as further I get in the tournament, as more comfortable I get, and as better, and my level becomes better. So I'd say that the first one is the toughest one, and then depends, you know, like I feel like there is no easy matches anymore. So, but like, let's say emotions wise, the first one is always a tricky one.
So did you obviously set that for the first
one? How was the weather out there? It's been a big talking point this week. And how did you find out there? And also, how did the surface play in this heat as well?
Yeah, I'd say that it was a bit warm. especially compared to the first days when I first got here, it was like 14 degrees, like freezing. And now it's like boiling hot and balls are flying. Everything is much faster. But physically, I feel strong, so I feel like it can benefit me. And I just try to stay strong and ignore the weather.
You're very active in social media and you have a big community following what you do because of your personality, who doesn't really know maybe too much about tennis. How do you know when's the limit to do too much, to lose your concentration about performance?
When I feel like it's too much, when I feel really exhausted doing it and I feel lazy doing it, I don't do it, you know. And but overall, I love doing social media. I love sharing myself with people. I love to show the life that I'm living. I like to show the positive side of the game. I like to show that it's okay to have fun outside of tennis court, but also be a hard worker. And I just want the next generation to take that healthy approach to this like really tough life of an athlete. I feel like some players can go too much into the professional side of the game and forget about themselves as a people of the court. So that's what I'm trying to kind of like spread the positivity into the society, let's say, like that. I don't know. I hope I make some people smile and makes their day, I don't know, happier.
Night session on Radio Roland Garros.
Yeah, some very sensible words there from Aryna Sabalenka, because of course we hear all the negatives with regards to social media, how much pressure it puts on female athletes in particular, but there is a positive side to it, and a good message, because tennis can be so all-consuming if you're playing. There's an ace from Sinner, so he's held at the start of the second set, having won the first by 6-1. But if you can get that balance right, obviously it helps Lady E when you're as good a player as Aryna Sabalenka and you've got a bit more time to show all the positives. But that, I thought, was a nice spin on a very thorny subject.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting, because obviously outside of Radio Roland Garros, one of my roles is advising athletes and organisations on PR. And Aryna Sabalenka is a really good example of somebody who, when she first broke through, she didn't have great English. She was a little bit shy, a little bit monosyllabic in press conferences. It's hard to believe that now. But she is somebody who, as she's grown in confidence and sort of found her own personality a bit, she's used social media really effectively to showcase that personality. And it's great, and it's fun with her dancing and her practical jokes with her team. And I think she's really won over an awful lot of fans through putting that little bit of extra effort into her social media. And she's right, there are downsides, but actually I think she is somebody that young players, as she said, should look at as a way to do it, because it's very authentic to her and it's a bit silly. And we see this incredible athlete, this powerhouse of a tennis player out there dominating opponents, and, you know, she can be very vocal on court and all of those things. And yet here is this young woman having a little dance on TikTok. And I think that's a lovely thing. And as I said, I think she's, you know, it's a huge credit to her for putting the effort in and believing in it.
Well, she kicked off the program on Philippe Chatrier today with a straight sets victory over Jessica Bourgeois-Maniero. And now we're watching the last match, and we're watching Clément de Beur get to 30 love in his first service game in the second set. And now serving to an off-balance Sinner, who still gets plenty of depth on his return, then goes cross-court on his forehand. Now we'll play the double-hander, cross-court to the Frenchman's double-hander. He then tries the drop shot. Sinner's going to get to that and returns with a little bit of an angle. But the pass down the line from de Beur is good enough to win the point. Crowd like that.
Well, they're looking to latch on to anything, aren't they? Anything at all. We've seen that all the way through that first set, as one-sided as it was. Anything that de Beur did right, the crowd are right behind him.
Can he close out this game to love, get himself a little bit of confidence? First serve just clips the top of the tape. There's a link, by the way, between de Beur and Hugo Gaston, who was playing this time yesterday up against Gael Monfils, because the two of them joined forces to reach the semi-finals of the boys' doubles here a few years ago. Gaston emerged victorious last night. It's unlikely that de Beur will do the same thing, but he has won his opening service game in set number two.
Well, that's all he can do at this stage, having dropped that first set. And again, it shows a lot of self-belief from the world number 171 out there against the world number one. He's saying, I'm in this. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
Now, Lady E, how do you pronounce Göteborg?
Well, in English, the version is Gothenburg. But Göteborg, obviously, is how you say it in Swedish, but I gather that that's not the correct way to pronounce it.
No, it is not.
Göteborg. Göteborg.
Oh, you looked it up.
Of course I looked it up. On account of me not being able to speak Swedish.
Göteborg. Yeah. That's Sonny getting in touch. He's written a few things about me upsetting Barry Cowan during a first round match at Wimbledon. I mean, not on the court. This is when we were broadcasting together. And suggest that I verbally abuse some of my colleagues at Wimbledon Radio during another first round encounter. This is scandalous, Sonny. We get on brilliantly at all times. And I do hope you can join us for two more fun weeks. Well, three really, because we'll bring you the qualifiers too. Just around the corner now. It's such a busy period in the tennis calendar.
Bishal says, why does everyone call Stefan? What exactly does he do? Is he a moderator or a controller of the radio? He's kind of a dark horse for the listeners because he never speaks. I mean, no. I can confirm he does speak, just doesn't necessarily speak on air. You can sometimes hear him laughing sympathetically at one of Marcus's terrible jokes. Stefan is our producer. He's our guru. He's our tech dynamo.
Yeah.
He's a genius.
He is.
And without him, you would hear absolutely nothing. Because if you think the rest of us rabble could possibly work out how to use any of this equipment, we couldn't even turn the computers on without Stefan.
No.
So you would be hearing nothing without Stefan. We would all be nothing without Stefan.
To keep your messages coming, keep us company as Jannik Sinner sizes up another winner. Away it goes. And he holds comfortably again to lead on serve, early stages of the second set, having won the first by 6-1, 39 minutes on the clock here on Chatrier. There are two other matches still taking place on court Suzanne Longlen. It looks as though, well, no, they're definitely, of course they're going to go into a fourth set. Félix Auger-Aliassime, I mean, what's the matter with you, man? Félix Auger-Aliassime lost the first set to Daniel Altmaier of Germany by 6-4. He won the second by the same margin, but he's now serving to stay in the third at 3-5, 30 love. He's the fourth seed, but as Eleanor was saying a short time ago, he's got a pretty poor record
in early rounds of Grand Slams, and he's having to fight again. And on court, Simon Mathieu, a slightly more evenly contested second set, so far at least, between Kimberly Burrell of Australia and the fifth seed from the United States, Jessica Pegula. Pegula won the first set 6-1. They, Lady E, are level at two games all in the second.
We've had a couple more upsets coming in, so we're asking all of you, really, what are your favourite or most memorable first-round upsets at Grand Slams?
And have we had any more good ones?
Well, yeah, Igor has got me thinking, because Igor says, did Hewitt lose first round when he was world number one twice? Karlovic beat him at Wimbledon, but I remember him also having an early stinker, Igor's word, not mine, in Australia. Quite possibly, you know.
Yes.
Someone with a better memory than me will be able to remember that.
Well, I'm getting
that.
The list back up again, Lady E, which I've managed to go and lose.
Should we call Stefan?
Here we are. Yes, Leighton Hewitt appears twice on this list as a defeated number one seed. Forehand to forehand. This is the first point of the fourth game of the second set, and it ends with Tabor going into the sidelines. So we know two of them straight away for absolutely sure, because I told you one. And Eleanor got one, Sergey Bruguera, successful against Stefan Edberg here at Roland Garros in 1990. And as quick as you like, Lady E came up with Ivo Karlovic, didn't you?
I did, yes. That was, he certainly beat Hewitt in the first round of Wimbledon. I think when Hewitt was defending champion.
2003 Wimbledon, yeah. So that would be the case. Tabor hammers away a short ball. Shall I put everybody out of their misery and tell you who the other players are?
Yes,
because some are quite tough, to be honest. Jan Kodesh did it against John Newcomb.
Okay.
At the US Open in 1971. This is one I would never have got. Carl Myler beat Ken Rosewell in the first round of the Australian Open in 1973. We know about Bruguera against Edberg in 1990. Also in 1990, it was a rough year for Edberg because he lost to Alexander Volkov in the first round at the US Open. Alberto Martin did beat Leighton Hewitt, the Aussie Open 2002, and Ivo Karlovic, as we know, did beat Leighton Hewitt, Wimbledon 2003. So can, well, I'm not going to ask the question. That's what Tabor would love to do, to become the seventh man to go onto that list. But as another ball goes fizzing past him down the line from Sinner, that very outside possibility looks to be even more unlikely.
Can we think of any more women's upsets? So far we've had Laurie McNeil knocking Steffi Graf out of Wimbledon, which was an absolute seismic upset at the time. We've had Virginia Razzano.
Yeah. Well, we've had Sophie Amiak constantly upset by just about anything.
I mean,
she's got to appear on that list somewhere. Oh, dear. She's given me a copy of her book, by the way.
Has she? You're very lucky. I gather they're selling extremely well. Available if you come on site here at Roland Garros.
Here it is, by the way, and I'm giving her one of mine in return. Third all, 1-2. Missed first serve. Fischel says, respect to Sir Stefan. Now he fully appreciates the great role that the man is doing behind us. Oh, second serve just clipped the top of the tape and bounces inside the box, so he will get another second serve. Starting to get a little darker overhead, but it's still very bright, very pleasant. Forehand return down the middle of the court from Sinner, who then drives an off backhand winner, and Tabor just stood there. Nothing he could do about that at all, from a position where there appeared to be no great danger. Sinner just fashioned the most straightforward looking of winners, at least. The world number one is able to make it look straightforward. So it's another break point at 30-40, and again Tabor has missed his first serve. 45 minutes on the clock. backhand to the backhand wing of the Frenchman. It's backhand to backhand at the moment. Now the off forehand from Tabor. He'll play another. Oh, well, he tried to play the off forehand again to go back behind Sinner, who was moving across his baseline. He couldn't control the shot. He has been broken. Broken for the first time in the second set. And Jannik Sinner now leads by a set and a break with just 45 minutes played.
Obviously, we're always endlessly comparing Jannik Sinner to Carlos Alcaraz at the, you know, the height of their rivalry. Alcaraz, of course, absent here with a wrist injury and will miss the grass court season as well. So no Wimbledon for him. But I think the difference between them is Sinner is much more ruthless. He doesn't have dips generally in matches. Sometimes he has physical dips, but he doesn't seem to ever lose concentration. He's a very, very good front runner. Whereas Carlos Alcaraz can still have these moments in matches where he just slightly the mind wanders and the tennis wanders with it.
It's a good email from Rachel, if I can guide you towards that, Lady E. Bill's also been in touch. Women's shocks. Venus Williams going down to greet Minnan at the 2023 US Open. 6-1, 6-1. Now, that is Bill in Chicago. And actually, when you read Rachel's email, you'll notice that she wants to know a little bit more about Bill.
Rachel says, "Hi there, Radio Roland Garros. Thanks for the company. I'm your new listener, Rachel." Well, hello. Welcome to the club. She's originally from Barcelona. No, she's in Barcelona, but was originally from Chicago. And she's very curious to know where listener Bill is in Chicago. Yeah. I think it's quite a big place.
Well, we can match them up, though.
We're always happy to match them up.
The Windy City.
And Rachel is a big fan of the tennis podcast and is friends with lots of other people who also listen to Radio Roland Garros and the tennis podcast.
Yeah, they were in touch. Are they the Wimbledon Bargees?
The Bargers.
Bargers, sorry. Not Onion Bargees, but Wimbledon Bargers. They might like Onion Bargees when they get together. Serve and volley from Sinner. It's effective.
They came to Wimbledon last year and watched Maya Joint and Kimberly Burrell play doubles. And got a selfie with Maya Joint, who is quite humble, and said, "Oh, do you want me to just take your picture?" And they said, no, we'd quite like you to be in it.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice. It's 3-1, 40-15, and Sinner is just, biding his time and actually missing a forehand. It's a rarity. Well, Kimberly Burrell is making a much better fist of the second set against Jessica Pegula, having won just one game in the first. It's now 3-3 in the second. They've been in action for almost exactly the same length of time as these two. We're entering the 49th minute of this match on Trattier, 1 minute less on Simone Mathieu. A rather longer encounter with plenty still to go, perhaps on Suzanne Longlen, where Daniel Altmaier has just taken the third set to lead Felix Auger-Aliassime by 2-1. That's after 2 hours and 23 minutes. Backhand return straight at the feet of Sinner. Tabor again looking to go down the middle of the court. Maybe trying to restrict the span of Sinner's shots. Now he's playing a drop shot, which Tabor will get to. Wasn't the best drop shot that Sinner has ever played, and Tabor pounced and did enough to upset the great man and drag him back into this particular service game. It's juice. If it sounds like this at juice, what's going to happen if he gets a break point?
Not many empty seats here on court, Philippe Chatrier. They are into this and they're willing it to be a little bit more competitive, and Tabor is doing his best to make it so.
Missed first serve from Sinner. Tabor a long way behind his baseline, crouching forward and now returning on his backhand. Sinner is there going cross court. Up goes a high ball from Tabor and it bounces long. Yeah, looking around, Lady E, there is barely a seat to be had.
I think it's been, and it's been like that all the way along, actually, with these night sessions. They've been absolutely packed. It's the hottest ticket in town, literally and figuratively.
Backhand return to Sinner, who goes down the line and then has an awkward one that just came off his baseline. Now the drop shot, Sinner's going to get to that. What will Tabur do? He tries to pass him with a little half volley. Sinner's still there again. Sinner reads it but can't control the volley that came straight at him. And I don't think Tabur said sorry either, and I'm glad about that. It's one of the great facades of tennis where you land one at your opponent and they go, oh, sorry. No, you're not. That's a deliberate tactic and it's a perfectly acceptable tactic.
It's almost as if they're not sorry about miss hits either.
No.
Sorry, not sorry.
Take it while you can. So, Juice, again, you'd be forgiven for thinking that Tabur had a set point. Looking to go out wide. Tall, elegant line judge just stuck out her right arm to confirm the serve missed. She's standing at an angle behind Tabur, who continues to slither from side to side and then runs in to play the second serve. It clipped off the top of the tape, and that gave Sinner all the time he needed to rearrange his positioning and hammer a forehand into the open court. Trying to be proactive there, wasn't he, Tabur?
He was trying, and he's done that all the way through, and he's trying to find ways. He's trying to probe any sign of weakness, but sadly, there aren't any signs of weakness in Jannik Sinner at the moment. And he's also got a way, hasn't he, Sinner, of making it all look so effortless.
And in the end, it's an effortless hold with the last point, at least. He was forced to work a little harder, but a big, powerful serve isn't returned by Tabur. So it's 4-1, Sinner second set, leading by a set to love after 52 minutes. Rose has been in touch. You wanted more upsets on the women's front. Actually, you may have met. Did you mention Jelena Dokic?
Dokic beating Hingis at Wimbledon.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And Coco Gauff over Venus in 2019.
That's true, because at the time, Gauff was very much still quite a young teenager.
That's Rose listening to us from Jamaica.
Hello, Rose.
I remember Rose from last year.
Justine says, hello, what about Harmony Tan beating Serena Williams in round one of Wimbledon in 2022?
Of course, how did we both forget that?
I mean, I would say that probably wasn't Serena's peak.
No.
But, yeah, it's a very good shout there. And Vic says, I had it in my head that the Arantxa Sánchez Vicario had a big Wimbledon upset, and it was a 1990 first round, and she had four match points but lost to Betsy Nagelson. She said, Vic says, I had to look it up. I was 6 years old, but a fan as far back, so I have some memories.
Now, Bill in Chicago, and a possible connection that we're looking to forge tonight, Lady E. Bill says, so nice to quasi meet another Chicagoan on Radio Roland Garros. I was born in Chicago, says Bill. I now live about a half an hour outside the city in the suburbs. Was lucky enough to visit Barcelona years ago. It was beautiful. And he says, I'm sure you love living there. And of course, we're trying to fix him up with, who is it?
I don't think we're trying to fix him up, Marcus.
Sorry.
With Rachel.
Rachel,
I think
yes.
We're just introducing them.
Well, you know what I mean, yeah. So there we are, Rachel. There's a few clues about Bill. If you'd like to give us any more information about yourself, we'll take a small fee and carry things forward.
We won't be taking any fees. David has provided actually some really good context, which I think you and I'd probably both forgotten a little bit about that upset of Laurie McNeil in 1994, where she beat Steffi Graf in the first round. David says, it has to be put into proper context because McNeil was world number 22 at the time, and since 2001, where the seedings were extended to 32, their matchup wouldn't have occurred.
Yeah, good point. But, you know, Steffi was Steffi.
But by the way, it was only one of two defeats for Steffi Graf at Southwest 19 over a 9-year period. Can we guess the other?
Oh,
that's 94 to 2000. Well, are we going backwards or forwards with the 9 years?
But is that right as well? She only lost twice in 9 years. Right, she was
that's
what dominant.
David says. I mean, she was very dominant.
Yes. Backhand into the net from Sinner.
And of course, Conchita Martinez ended up winning Wimbledon in 94.
Yes.
Beating Martina Navratilova. Stopping her from winning a 10th Wimbledon.
Was that the year that Martina bent down and grabbed a piece of grass?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Did she get fined £10,000 for that?
History doesn't record that.
No. You can get into a lot of trouble if you start mucking around with the grass at Wimbledon. Tabur, 1-4, 30-15, if you're just joining us. Great to have your company on Radio Roland Garros. I'm Marcus Buckland in the company of Lady Eleanor of Preston. Forehand cross court from Sinner, shortish angle then from Tabur, and that persuaded Sinner to go for it down the line on his forehand side, but he misses.
You know what could happen here, Marcus?
What's that?
Tabur could win a game.
Well, I was just going to check our little list again. A reminder at the start of the night, Eleanor said he'd win 5. I said he'd win 6. He's at 2 at the moment. So, yeah, 3rd here. And anything's possible, certainly in terms of our little competition. First serve clips the tape, bounces first back his side and then spins over. But that's no good for him. So a second serve. Looking to win a second game in this second set. Backhand return is clubbed powerfully by Sinner. Now he's playing the drop shot. Oh, yes. Slice drop shot on the backhand. Played to perfection. No way Tabur was getting to that in time.
Well, it dropped dead on the court, that ball, didn't it? Was hit so beautifully. Sometimes drop shots can rear back up, but that one almost just got to the court, nestled in, didn't move.
Have you mentioned Igor's suggestion? It isn't a first round shot, but he says it's big enough to warrant a mention anyway.
Not yet, but David says that Steffi Graf's other defeat in that 9 year period we were talking about, alongside losing to Laurie McNeil in 1994, was Zena Garrison Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Radio Roland Garros. Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 11 local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Listen again, replay.
Semi-finals in 1990.
Yeah, good knowledge, David. Oh, dear, oh dear. Well, it was a relatively gentle serve, and Sinner watched it onto his racket and powered a backhand down the line for a winner, and we're back to deuce. Steffi, who still plays a bit of tennis with her husband every now and then, was lucky enough to do a few little bits and pieces with Andre Agassi at Wimbledon last year. Fascinating to talk to him. Returns into the net this time from Sinner, and effectively admit that he's only the second best player in his family. Andre Agassi, only the second best player in his family. Game point again for Clément. Forehand return to the forehand of the Frenchman. It came back at him quickly and he errs on his forehand wing. Deuce again. Sorry, I was just going to say, Kimberly Burrell is in the process of turning things around, Lady E, on Simone Mathieu. She's serving for the second set now against Jessica Pegula at 5-3. Sorry for butting in.
Oh, no, that's fine. That would also count on our list of upsets, I think. Pegula, the 5th seed. Now, not a best surface. There's no question about it.
The cheer will tell you that Clément Tabur has won another point.
Will he turn that point into another game?
Ooh, Do you know who we're going to hear from next? Actually, Stefan's writing. He's good at everything except when it comes to writing. Are you a doctor in your spare time? Oh, yes.